This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al anbiya wal mursaleen, Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Brothers, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be speaking about today about a very important topic, which is the issue of the salat, the importance of the salat. What happens if I leave of the salat? Does it take me out the fold of Islam if I leave of the matter of a salat? How does the issue of salat, or what is the kind of weight that the salat has in my religion? This is the topic that we will be, inshallah ta'ala, discussing today. The importance of this matter, because if you look in our society today, the way we look at other things, it is not like the way that we see the issue of a salat. Some matters now that you find is very, very delicate and very touchy in our community. If a girl from our family, she gets pregnant, from a guy that's not halal for her, what happens? Everyone is talking about it. There is bukh, there is balaya. The mother, she's going angry. The father is going crazy. Why? Because this is going to bring shame to the family. This is going to bring shame to the family. This is when it comes to a major sin. If someone from our family is drinking khamar, which is unheard of in our communities, but only now is becoming apparent. Everyone is talking about it. Another major sin. If we find from the youth who is drug dealing, again, it's a very big issue. The thing that we care more about, not the fact that this person is disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, but the fact that he's what? Bringing shame to the family. How are the other people going to see our family? How are the people going to be looking at us? What are the people going to be saying to us? What are they going to be saying about us? And etc. That's the bigger issue than anything else. Not the fact that he's disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that was the case, this is akhyar. This is more better than the other scenario where a person more cares about what the people are going to say. And this is a big issue, brothers, the way we see the issue of a salat. So the topic today, it revolves around how did the sahaba, how did the salaf used to see the issue of a salat? When it came to the prayer, how did I used to see it? Because brothers, you know, if my Apple phone, something happens to it, what do I do with it? Can anyone answer the question? If my phone breaks now, my iPad that I have here, the Apple iPad, what do I do with it? Who do I take it to? I take it to Apple. Why? Because Apple is the one that created this iPad. He knows the matter inside out. The perspectives and the way that he sees this matter is different from any other company. And likewise, Galaxy, if the Galaxy, something happens to it, we go to Samsung. Why? Because they know the issue inside out. So the issue of a salat, who knew the matter more than anyone else? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba. So then the Sahaba, they saw the issue of a salat in a certain way. So we want to learn their perspective, how they saw the issue of a salat. Are we seeing it the way the salaf? And when we use the word salaf, brothers, especially this word, is there's all sorts of controversy around it. People become allergic when we mention the word salafiyah, or when we mention the word salaf. Little do they know that the meaning of salaf is something that is ma'roof, ma'loom, ladai jami'an nas. When we use the word salaf, what is the intended purpose? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of you is my generation. Then those that came after them and those that came after them. So the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'a Tabi'een. So when we're using this word Salaf, we intend by it the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'a Tabi'een. It is not a party, it is not a Hizb, it is not a group that we're trying to call to. Rather, it is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how the Sahaba saw this kind of matter. the Tabi'een, people like Ibn Abbas, how did they explain the Quran? Today we find when we come to Tabbat ila Abi Lahab wa Tab, when it comes to this surah, there's different people. People like the Shia, they interpret this surah that it was sent down upon who? Umar ibn al-Khattab. First, he is what? He's got Dalil. He brings you, the Dalil is what? Tabbat yada abi lahab wa tab. He brings you from the Quran. An ayah from the Quran. And he tells you the intended purpose of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar rajal bahrayni yaltaqiyan, Ali and Fatima, they came together. And many, many ayah that is distorted. So what is the differentiation between how I interpret this surah and how anyone else interprets the surah? What can differentiate us? And what is the correct matter between the two? What is the correct matter? The only way to judge between any matter is to take it back to the understanding of the Sahaba. If we don't do that, we got problems. If Fulan's coming tomorrow, he brings his own understanding. لِأَنَّ عُقُولَ النَّاسِ يَتَفَاوَتْ. The intellects of the people, they differ. One's gonna come, he's gonna say this. Fulan's gonna come, he's gonna say this. Basing it upon his own intellect. So we have the fahm of the Sahaba. The understanding of the Sahaba when it comes to any matter. The siyam, the salat, the sadaqah, the zakat, the hajj, and every other matter. It is the understanding of the Sahaba. They set the blueprint for us. When you have a building, you have a blueprint, something to follow. Otherwise, the whole building is going to break. Ask the engineers. You have to follow that blueprint to is exactly. Otherwise, something wrong is going to happen. And likewise, in our religion, we have a blueprint of the Salaf, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'i Tabi'een. How we interpret these ahadith, these ayat, these ways. My Shaykh, I can't take his understanding. Or my father or my mother, when it comes to the Nusus. It has been dealt with the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'i Tabi'een. They've come and they brought the understanding. Ibn Abbas, from the Sahaba who knew the Quran very, very well. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in many, many narrations, made dua for him. Allahumma allimu al-ta'wil, Allahumma allimu al-Quran, Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen. Oh Allah, give him an understanding in the religion. Oh Allah, teach him the book. So you find that sometimes when it comes to the ayat, the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, their understanding takes precedence over anyone else. You can't put them and someone's understanding for us to come, or for someone to come in this time and give us a better understanding, or we give his understanding precedence to it. So the whole point is we have a blueprint. We have something to follow. So when a person is calling himself Sahib Sunnah, or Ahlul Hadith, people that follow the Hadith, or Ahlul Sunnah, or Salafi, all these words are the same thing. Someone that is truly following the Quran and the Sunnah upon the way of the Sahaba, Aqidatan, Sulukan, wa Manhajan, and in every other matter. This is a person that is truly following the Sunnah. Otherwise, it's just Mujarrad Kalimat, mere speeches, mere words. Someone just saying something with his tongue and not doing anything with his actions. And today you find, brothers, pay attention here, that the word Salaf has been distorted. You mention the word Salafiyya or Salaf amongst the people, they run away. As if this is a balwa coming to the people. Rather, it just means, as we have just been clearly mentioning, you want to follow the Sahaba, then follow their way. That's what it simply means. So brothers, how did the Sahaba see the issue of a salat? Are we seeing it the exact same way? What is that which differentiates a person, a Muslim, from the non-Muslim? Have we ever thought, what is the thing that differentiates me from Mark and John, that are my neighbors? What is the differentiation? Is it because he drinks khamar and I don't? There's some non-Muslims, they don't drink khamar. Is it because they eat pork and I don't eat pork? You find some of them, some of the non-Muslims are health freaks. They are health freaks and they don't eat pork. They don't eat meat at all, vegetarians. So what is it that differentiates and makes me different from them? A question that we pose to ourselves, that we ask ourselves, what's the difference? Brothers, you find that there's many, many occurrences that took place when the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim, they were living with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If a man wasn't fasting, another pillar from the pillars of Islam. If a man wasn't fasting, maybe the Sahaba, they said, this guy is sick. Maybe he doesn't have the ability. Maybe there's something in his immune system that is preventing him from fasting. They had excuses for him. If he wasn't performing Hajj, they might have said, maybe the guy or this brother, he has no money. When it came to the issue of sadaqah or zakat, or maybe the guy's poor. The girl wasn't wearing hijab, maybe she's a slave girl. Or she's new to Islam. But when it came to the issue of a salat, nobody had any excuses. Because if you can't pray standing up, you have to pray sitting down. You can't pray sitting down, you have to pray lying down. It never ever falls off a person. There is no excuses. Even when a person is traveling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for him. وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ تَخْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. Once you hit the road, there's no harm for you to combine the prayers or to shorten the prayers. Even the doctor who's going to be going in an operation that lasts maybe 10 hours, Islam has made it easy for him. Islam has made it easy for this person to combine the prayers due to his situation. A person that doesn't have any water, he's in the middle of a desert, he doesn't have anything, it still doesn't fall off this person. That's why you have the issue of a tayammum. You can't say to yourself, wallahi, there's no masjid, there's no prayer mat, I can't pray here, I'm going to pray while I go home. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned another hadith, U'titu khamsan lam yu'tuhuna ahadun qabli. I was given 5 things, no one before me was given these matters. وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The whole earth, الْأَرْضُ كُلَّهَا مَسْجِدْ إِلَى الْمَقْبَرَةُ وَالْحَمَامِ. The whole earth is a prayer mat, except for 2 places. The maqbara, the grave, and also the toilet. And it has been made as a purifying agent. فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ مِنْ أُمَّةِ أَدْرَكَتُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيُصَلِّي. Wherever a person is, wherever he is, and the time of salat comes, it is upon him to pray. It never ever falls off a person. Never ever falls off him. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim, brothers, nobody get emotional here. I'm not calling anyone a kafir, saying that this person is a disbeliever, or he's a gal or anything like that. Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to see the guy that doesn't pray, the one that leaves of the prayer out of laziness, to be a gal, kafir. When a person in our society today, when a person doesn't leave of the prayer, how do the normal people react? How do the normal parents react? Wallahi, inshallah, he's going to pray later. When he is drug dealing, it is the vocal and main point that everybody is speaking about. Day and night, he's got meetings. Come, we're going to speak about this matter. They call you, Ya Akhi, please speak to my son, he's dealing drugs. Never do you find an issue about the salat. This is a major sin, brother, we have to understand. A girl getting pregnant with a guy that is not halal for her is a major sin. Drugs is a major sin. Music is a major sin. All these other matters are major sins. We're not trying to belittle the matter, it being a major sin. Because if a person dies drug dealing, committing zina, killing, he's under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him or he doesn't forgive him. That doesn't mean we get all, mashallah, we become full of hope. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor or rahim, he's going to forgive me if I carry on doing this. Rather, brothers and sisters, you don't want a bubble, a cloud on the top of your head, that there's even a possibility you're touching the fire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, "An-naru allati tuqidun juz'un min 70 juz'a min nar jahannam." The fire that you have in your house, that you kindle with, is 1/70th of the fire that you're going to be touching in the hellfire. 1/70th. So if we can't bear the barbecue, One time I accidentally pushed someone onto the barbecue. It was an accident. I didn't do it by purpose. For a whole week, he's complaining about a little burn. A little burn. This is the fire in our dunya, brothers and sisters. I have to say sisters because someone said to me yesterday, there came some complaints about me not saying sisters. So brothers and sisters, you don't want a possibility of you even touching the fire. 1/70th, brother. It's 1/70th of the fire that you have in the fire in the hellfire. If we can't bear the fire in this dunya, then brothers, how on earth do we expect that even if we're touched with it on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that we can take this matter lightly? Wallahi, brothers and sisters, the issue of a salat was serious when it came to the Sahaba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time was telling them about Dajjal, Al-A'war al-Kadhab, the one with one eye, and he's a liar, deceiver. He told them that when Dajjal comes, he will stay upon the earth for 40 days. One day like a year, second day like a month, the third day like a week. And the rest of the days will be like the normal subsequent days. What do you think the first thing that the Sahaba asked about? Okay, Tayyib, if one day is going to be like a year, what are we supposed to do? The first things that the Sahaba asked, كيف نصلي يا رسول الله? How are we going to pray? With one day being like a whole year, how are we going to pray? Imagine today, like, this was the situation in our time. How am I going to do my homework? When am I going to watch my TV? When am I going to watch this game? When am I going to do this? When am I going to play football? First thing that popped up to the Sahaba's minds, كيف نصلي يا رسول الله? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to approximate, to estimate the time, and to pray it in its according time. First thing, brothers, this is a terrifying thing. The issue of a Dajjal is not a normal matter. So the Sahaba might have been excused if they became scared or their minds became shut, especially when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked to them about the issue of a Dajjal. People that are claiming al-Islam, the majority of the people are going to be following the Dajjal. One of the things that we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from when we are in our tashahud. People that you see today who are claiming al-Islam, because they don't know their religion, they're going to be what? Following the Dajjal. How are you going to differentiate between the Dajjal and who's not a Dajjal when you don't know the hadith? When you don't know al-Islam? When you don't know the basics of your religion? And they used to become terrified. When the issue of the Dajjal came up, they became terrified. First thing they asked, كيف نصلي يا رسول الله? Brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat. Man taraka faqad kafar. The difference between you, that which distinguish, that differentiates you and the Budi and the Sikh that you find on Melton Road, the Christian, the Jew, is one thing. As-salat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever leaves it off, this guy is a kafir. I'm not saying this. My sheikh is not saying this. Or my mother or my father. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the difference between you and them is salat. Whoever leaves off is a kafir. Brothers, kufr is not like a major sin. Kufr, you become khalid, mukhalid. You abide in the hellfire forever and ever. All the mahadith, the one that said, la ilaha illallah, Sitqan min qalbihi yukhraj min an-nar, he'll get taken out of the fire. No. There is no one coming out. And some of the ulama, a lot of the ulama today, they find the guy that leaves of the salat, he is not a Muslim. So there's no difference between you and Mark. No difference whatsoever. Inna bayna shirki wal kufur, tarka salat. That which is between shirk and kufur, tarka salat. Leaving of the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever does shirk, we have made the Jannah haram upon him. Will never ever enter into the Jannah. And the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. The word duna is anything that is less than it. But we know kufr and shirk are on the same level when it comes to ahkam. So no matter, brothers, as you can see, it is not a light matter that we look at the matter lightly. To belittle it, okay, inshallah, my son is going to pray later. As-Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq al-Uqayri, who was from those that met many of the Sahabas, he said, كَانُوا لَا يَرَوْنَ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ تَرْكُهُ كُفْرًا غَيْرَ الصَّلَاةِ. They never used to see an action that was abandoned to be kufr other than salat. And we mentioned before, when it came to siyam, when it came to sadaqah, when it came to hajj, they saw it, maybe excuses. We give this person excuses. Because the salat never ever falls off a person. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, hit the child at the age of 7? That doesn't mean beat him, smack him, kill him. To just ta'diban lahu. So a boy at a very young age, he becomes used to it. Go ask an old man, a 50-year-old man, akhi, start memorizing the Quran, start doing this from now on. You find that it's very, very hard for him to adapt. As for a young person, mashallah, he listens. You're able to drill something in his head and make it stay in there. Very, very easy. Much different than an old person who's become used to his ways. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at a very young age, at the age of 7, sorry, teach them at the age of 7. But when they reach the age of 10, hit them. As in يعني, taps. That doesn't mean kill him or beat him like mad, give him a black eye. But like ta'diban lahu, so he becomes used to it. In order for him to preserve his identity, and that's it. As a Muslim. Brothers, if we're not doing the salat on a day-to-day basis, what are we doing as Muslims? The hajj happens once in your lifetime. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Whoever has the ability, then he has to perform the hajj. The siyam, once a month. Once a year. And then sometimes the other nawafil is at different times of the year. The sadaqah, every now and again. Zakatul fitr, once a year. On a day-to-day basis, if we are not performing this ibadah, think to yourself, brothers and sisters, what are we doing as Muslims? How are we giving khidmah, service to Al-Islam? Because this is the only time where a person, he's interacting with his laws. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, إِنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِذَا قَامَ فِي صَلَاتِ فَإِنَّهُ يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ. When a person stands up for prayer, he's interacting with his Lord. There's an interaction going on. So if you don't have the interaction with your Lord, the whole day, what are you doing? What are we doing as Muslims? We are able to be patient for 90 minutes when Arsenal and Man United or Barcelona and Madrid are playing each other. Anyone that walks past the TV, we throw something at him. Get out. 100% concentration when it comes to the match. We sit down for 2 hours watching a film. 2 hours, we sit there watching a film. All these other soap operas for half an hour, mashallah, we sit there. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went all the way up to the heavens to get the salat, it is one of the only things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took directly in person from Allah Azza wa Jal. The issue of a salat. He went all the way to the seven heavens. All the way. Every time he came back, because in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go back, you have 50 salat. Tell your ummah about 50 salat. Every time he came back to Musa, when he was coming down, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irji' ila rabbik, fa inna ummatak la tutiqu dhalik. Go back to your Lord, because your ummah doesn't have the ability to do this. So he got reduced. 30, 20, 10. Every single time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told by Musa, go back to your Lord. فَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكَ لَا تُطِيقُ ذَلِكَ. Until he came to 5. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go back to your Lord. 5. 5 prayers a day. فَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكَ لَا تُطِيقُ ذَلِكَ. Wallahi, صَدَقَ مُوسَى, we can't do 5. Musa was truthful. We as an ummah, it is hard for us to do five. Sometimes we wish the day was 48 hours in order to fit everything in. Brothers, 25 minutes. There's 24 hours in the day. 25 minutes. No one's asking you for anything else. 25 minutes. Look what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about just the nawafil. The nawafil. The raka'atayn qabla al-fajr. Raka'atay al-fajr ahabbu ilayya min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. The two raka'at before fajr, it is more beloved to me than anything in this dunya. The 12 raka'at, the 12 nawafil is also called the ratib. The two before fajr. The four before duhur, the two after duhur, the two before or after maghrib. Afwan. And the two after Isha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays 12 raka'at, this person will get a house in Jannah. This is about the nawafil, brothers and sisters. The nawafil. Forget about the farida. You're getting all this reward for the nawafil. And you get what? A house in Jannah. Today, look in our society, brothers and sisters, look in our society. The extent the people go to get a house. In order to buy a house, what happens? Fulan takes mortgage from this bank. They are happy to take riba. In order to what? To get a house in this dunya. Riba. وما أدراك ما الربا. What do you know about riba? The action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned Majmu' al-Fatawa, that there is no action that is more great in sin and a bigger sin than the issue of riba. Why? Because the one that falls into riba, he is announcing a war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And if you don't stop your riba, then announce your war. Does anyone here have a jaysh? An army that's ready to come out and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to that one riba he took, that 1 pence or 1 pound of riba. Wallahi, I can't live if I don't have a house. Kidib. Sometimes people look at me when we're speaking about this matter in work as if I'm a madman. The concept of the people and how they think today, when there's discussion, as if you can't live if you don't have a mortgage. Brothers, wallahi, in this country, what happens if you lose your job? You get something called housing benefits. Your housing benefits is always sorted. And there's always ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلُهُ مَخْرَجًا. In order to get a house, as if it is from the necessities of your life, a life and death situation. Na'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in a state of ihtirar, if a person is dying, he is allowed to drink khamar, he is allowed to eat a dead animal, he is allowed to drink, eat pork. When he is dying, life and death situation. Am I now dying? Or is it having any major effect on our life? Is it from the dururat al-qamsa? When it's related to the aqal, to the life of a person, to the mal of a person. This is our state today. The whole point is, we are going to such an extent. We want to do so much. Put our life on the line. In order to what? To get a house in this dunya. And we take riba. That 12 raka'at, brothers and sisters. That you pray, you get a house in Jannah. Every single time you pray 12 raka'at. This is what, ya akhwan, brothers and sisters, we, fi haqi ish, an-nawafil. These raka'at that are nafila, are sunnah, not the wajib prayers. Brothers, wallahi, what excuse do we have in front of Allah Azza wa Jal? He's given us 24 hours in our day. 24 hours He has given us in our day. We can't give 25 minutes. And also when it comes to marriages, something that just popped up to my mind, very, very important. The father is sitting there, the mother sitting there, the family sitting there. Someone's come now to get my daughter. The whole family is there. Pay attention here, brothers. Look at the questioning that takes place. What job do you have? What job do you have? Fair enough. What job do you have? What degree do you have? Does anyone ever ask about the salat? You could be marrying your daughter off to a kafir. A guy that doesn't pray. But that comes all the way secondary. Inshallah ta'ala in the future he's going to pray. But when it comes to a drug dealer coming for our daughter, لا مباشرة بدون تردد, without any hesitation, no. A drug dealer. Or a guy that drinks. Or he does this. He does fraud and everything else. The issue of asad, wallahi kathir. How much do we find? Masakin brothers, come up to me. Wallahi, I went to this family. I wanted to get married to his daughter, but they said to me, oh, you don't have a degree. Or you don't have a job. Or you don't have this. Nobody asks about the salat. Are we seeing the issue of a salat like the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim saw the issue of a salat? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعُ. A woman is married due to four reasons. لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا. Her beauty, her lineage, and her wealth. The fourth thing that he mentioned, and he gave emphasis to it, وَلِدِينِهَا. And he said to her, فَاظْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَمِينُكَ. He gave emphasis to the issue of the religion. يعني, it's a phrase that the Arabs have, فَاظْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ, huh? That don't hit your hand on the sand with regret. That if you don't take this, you might become regretful. Brothers, have we ever imagined in such a way that we might be marrying one of our family members to a guy that's not Muslim? And like we mentioned before, the Sahaba, they saw this in such a way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it kufr. Would you get your son or your daughter married to Mark or Jane? Nobody here is going to allow this. But like we mentioned before, the differentiation between this and that is the issue of salat. Look at Umar ibn al-Khattab. Look at Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab is leading a prayer. Umar ibn al-Khattab is leading a prayer. The munafiq Abu Lu'lu'a comes and he stabs him up while in his prayer. So after the salah is finished, they carried on praying. At least 17 of those that were praying in the sufuf, they were stabbed. But the sahaba, they carried on praying. Umar ibn al-Khattab gets taken to a house. Those that are with him, they give him water. It comes down his intestine. They give him milk, the milk is coming out. It's Umar ibn al-Khattab. The man that some people, they thought he was invincible. The shaytan used to be scared of him. مَا سَلَكَ شَيْطَانٌ فَجًّا سَالِكًا إِلَّا سَلَكَ فَجًّا غَيْرَ فَجِّكَ. Whenever Umar ibn al-Khattab took a road, the shaytan got scared, he went around the bush. Umar ibn al-Khattab goes here, shaytan is scared. Wallahi, the enemy feared Umar ibn al-Khattab. Even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentioned, the day when Umar ibn al-Khattab became a Muslim, huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the religion of Islam. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the religion two times. Mihnat Imam Ahmed, when Imam Ahmed got whipped and he got beaten. Why? Because he was saying that the Quran wasn't created. And also who? The day when Umar ibn al-Khattab entered into the religion. The Muslims became honored. The kuffar started trembling, shaking. Khalas, they got Umar now. Step back. So Umar ibn al-Khattab gets stabbed up while in his prayer, gets taken to a house. They tried in every way to wake him up. They can't wake him up. Ibn Abbas stands up and he says, I know how to wake up Umar ibn al-Khattab. I know how to wake up Umar ibn al-Khattab. He starts telling Umar ibn al-Khattab, it's time for the prayer. It is time for the prayer. He jumps up Umar ibn al-Khattab and he said, Wallahi, he swears by Allah, La imana liman la salata lahu. There is no iman. That guy has no faith, the one that leaves out the prayer. فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. If they repent and they establish the prayer and they pay the zakat, they are your brothers in the religion. Otherwise, the whole brotherhood has been negated. This guy doesn't have the huquq of Islam. And a person as kafir, brothers, the ulama, a lot of the ulama, Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, some of the major scholars that we know today, wallahi, they will give the hukum of a tariq salat, the one that abandons the prayer, like the one that commits shirk. لا يدفن في مقابر المسلمين. You don't bury him in the مقابر المسلمين, where the Muslims are buried. لا يرث ولا يرث. You can't inherit him. If he has £100,000 in his bank and he's left that, لا يرث ولا يرث. You can't inherit him because he's a gal. You can't wash him because he's a gal. This is the fatwa that the ulama today, the ulama that we have, the major scholars, forget about the mashayikh or the tullab or anything like that. The ulama that we have, one of the biggest, lijnat al-da'ima, they have this position that this guy is not a Muslim. So he stands up, Umar ibn al-Khattab, لا إيمان لمن لا صلاة له. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dying, ikhwan. He is dying. Some of us, we would be given our wasaya. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do this. I've got this money buried in this place. Make sure you get it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi, brothers, there used to be times where there's no food in his house. Hilal, ba'da hilal, ba'da hilal. Season after season, there's no food in his house. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dying, ikhwan. What was from his last words that he said? He starts calling out, As-salat, as-salat. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ As-salatu, as-salat. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ Prayer, prayer. And make sure you look after those that your right hand possesses. And he kept on repeating, As-salat, as-salat. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his deathbed. So how can we take this matter lightly? Is it a matter that we can see the way we see it? 25 minutes of your day. 25 minutes of your day that you have. And another important thing, the uncle always tells me, one of the uncles here, every time he sees me after a khutbah, he tells me, Muhammad, make the issue of al-jama'ah a topic of the khutbah. Make the issue of al-jama'ah. Here, mashallah, in St. Matthew's, we have the place is packed with our community. Muslims is packed. Mashallah, hafizullah, he tells me, every fajr is maybe one line, two line. You go to some of the other masajid, four or five people attending. Look at the difference between this and when it comes to the month of Ramadan. Even the issue of al-jama'ah, brothers and sisters, the issue of al-jama'ah, I should exempt the sisters on this one because the jama'ah is not wajib upon them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had I known that the people were praying in their house, had I known the people were praying in the house, I would have burnt them inside. He tells Ibn Umm Maktum, who was blind. Ya Rasulullah, I am blind and I come to the masjid. He said to him, Hal tasma'u nida? Do you hear the adhan? He goes, na'am. And this man, ya akhwan, this sahabi, he's blind. Radiyallahu anhu. Hal tasma'u nida? He goes, na'am. Do you hear the adhan? He goes, yes. فَإِذَنْ أَجِبْ Upon you to attend the jama'ah. If this is the case for a blind person who can hear the nida, and we live around the masajid or in an area, mashallah, 6-7 masajid we have in St. Matthew's. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَشِّرِ الْمَشَّائِينَ فِي الظُّلَمِ بِنُورِ التَّامِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Give glad tidings to those that walk in the night. Nur, complete nur. On the day of the resurrection. So when you are hearing the adhan, you know that the Salatul Maghrib, mashallah, Salatul Maghrib is going to be clashing with Champions League soon. When Bayern Munich is playing with Arsenal, with Arsenal. are you going to be now watching this game, or are you going to be calling and accepting the prayer? That's the question that lies. Most of us, mashallah, we say Allahu Akbar. We all know the meaning of Allahu Akbar.
Can anyone, brother, what's the meaning of Allah Akbar?
Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. When we say Allahu Akbar with our tongue, do we really intend it with our limbs? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest? If I'm playing football or I was watching a game, wallahi brothers, even though we might say it with our tongue, we are saying it بلسان الحال أن الله ليس بأكبر. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the most great. Messi and Ronaldo and what's the other one called? Someone said something. These people are more greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That match I'm playing is more greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That boss or that wife is more greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even your parents, you have to tell them in a nice way, Ya ummi, ya ubi, I have to go. Nobody takes precedence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to know your position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how close you are, then take the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i. Imam al-Shafi'i, the teacher of Imam Ahmad. فَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْرِفَ مَقَامَكَ أي عند الله فَانْظُرْ فِي مَا أَقَامَكَ. If you want to know your position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands with you. How do you react when it comes to the prayer? Are you carrying on doing whatever you're doing, or are you standing up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away? Which one are you running to? You are saying, in other words, brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa bi akbar, that He is not the greatest, and that job that I'm doing, that Messi that I'm watching, that Ronaldo, everything else is more great than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people they ask, brothers and sisters, how do I attain khushu'? How do I attain khushu' in my salat? Sometimes I pray, I put the effort in, I stand up to prayer, how do I attain khushu'? A very, very frequent asked question. How do I attain khushu'? How can I concentrate in my prayer? If only you stop yourself for one moment, that you say to yourself, and you put your mind in such a way, that you are now meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens when a person is going for a job interview? MashaAllah, puts perfume on, tie, blazer, trousers. You don't find one crease on there. It is ironed. When he gets an extra few times, he gives the iron to his blazer. He prepares himself. The questions he's got inside out because he's searching on Google what the guy's going to ask. He's preparing himself. He walks into the interview room. The only thing on his mind is that, boss, how I'm going to pass the interview. And he's concentrating. He doesn't flinch to the right. He doesn't flinch to the left. Eye to eye with the boss or the guy that's giving him the interview. Look at the concentration. What happened? He put himself in that state of mind well before the time of the interview. Few moments before the salat. Brothers and sisters, few moments before the salat. Tell yourself, you're going to be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has any of you ever been put in the head teacher's office? Don't be shy. Abba's not going to say anything. It's done and dusted. Who, anyone? All of you are good people, mashallah. Tafadal, akhi. What happens, akhi, when you go inside that... Ma'am, when you get stuck into that head teacher's office, what happens? Huh? Trouble. Everyone's scared. Some of the kids, they sometimes urinate because of fear. Due to fear, what happens? So the person is watching his master, his head teacher. He doesn't look left, he doesn't look right. You are standing in front of your Lord. Brothers and sisters, you are standing in front of your Lord. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يُنَاجِي رَبَّهِ. He is standing. When he stands up in his prayer, he is interacting. Direct interaction with your Lord. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. The Surah Al-Fatiha has a whole tafsir. And we're not going to go into it now because of the time limits and everything. Don't think that when you pray, and when Jama' prays, and when Muhammad prays, all of you lot are coming out, mashallah, with the same reward. Sometimes you can pray, you get absolutely nothing. We all know the hadith of the Musi' al-Salat. He prayed. He went to the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, irji' fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back, you haven't prayed. So he went back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu again said to him, irji' fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back, you haven't prayed. So he goes and prays. Goes back for the third time. Same thing. So he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, teach me. He used to pray up and down, up and down, up and down. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to us in hadith, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَنْصَرِفُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ فَمَا كُتِبَ لَهُ مِنْ صَلَاتِ إِلَّا عُشْرُهَا أو تِسْعُهَا أو ثُمُنُهَا أو سُبْعُهَا أو سُدُسَهَا أو خُمُسْ إِلَى نِسْفُهَا. A man, he leaves his prayer and he comes out with 10% or 1/10 or 1/20 or 1/30 or 1/40 of the reward. Everybody differs when it comes to the salat. Some people, they are committing a major sin inside a prayer. And I'll tell you why. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I not now inform you? Asraq al-sariqah. The biggest thief, not the guy that does highway robbery or the CEO that's in charge of the bank and he takes the money. Nobody knows. Or he does this or he does that. Or the thief that pickpockets. Nah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I tell you of the biggest thief? The guy that steals from his prayer. How does a man steal from his prayer? Can you steal your ruku' and your sujood? Can anyone steal anything from his prayer? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يتم ركوعها ولا سجودها. He doesn't complete the ruku' and he doesn't complete the sujood. Up and down, very, very quickly. There's no itminan. There's no calming down in the prayer. Running back to that match. Oh, I'm going to miss this. You want to put your salat at jeopardy, and you want to run to a kafir. Time and time again. Brothers, if we look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the kuffar. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ أُولَيْكَ. Complete for me. أُولَيْكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. The people of the book, those that commit shirk, they are the worst of creation. You're running away from your Lord. And you're running to the worst of creation. This is the reality. You have chosen the worst of creation over what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The biggest thief is the one that steals from his prayer. لا يتم ركوعها ولا سجودها. So this is the case, brothers and sisters, about the issue of a salat. The reason why I thought this was a very, very important topic is because, wallahi, we don't see the issue of a salat like we see other major sins. And like I mentioned before, just this thing, I've seen it time and time again, it happened. Time and time again, it happens. A girl, she gets pregnant. It is the biggest aib that a father can ever incur. Day and night, no sleep. No sleep. The shame that's going to come to my family. People are going to say, the father of Fulan. And the father of Alan. His girl, she became pregnant over this guy, or this white guy, or this person, this other person. But when it comes to the salat, wallahi sahal. Inshallah, he's going to pray soon. He's going to pray soon. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, Sheikh Abdul Haq wants to come up and he is going to open a majal li Q&A. Naam. Let's take this issue seriously. Wallahi, our communities, they don't see the matter of salah seriously. Or as serious enough, shall I say. Or as serious as other things. And at the same time, brothers, I say again, I am not calling anyone a kafir. How many of our communities do we have? People, close members, who don't pray. And all these hadith, all these aqwal of the immatu dunya wa masabih al-duja, of what they said regarding the salat. Are we now going to allow someone in our family to take the matter of salat that easily? A lot of the ulama, forget about me, a lot of the ulama, they see this guy to be no different from Mark and Jane. No difference whatsoever. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we heard.
ما كان من خطأ فهو مني ومن الشيطان والله ورسوله بريئان. And inshallah, if anyone had anything regarding a topic you didn't understand, until Sheikh Abdul Haq comes up, we'll just quickly go through, inshallah.